Our reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter. It is the final portion of our Lord's miracle of the healing of the 10 lepers. So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Remember when you were in Sunday school and you first learned about leprosy? If you were like me, you started getting pretty freaked out. That was a pretty nasty disease to learn about. Maybe as you got older, you Googled it a little bit and started finding pictures of it. Don't do that if you haven't, by the way. It is a horrific, horrific disease. I was so happy to find out as I got older that it was curable in our lifetime. Today, we maybe think about the Ebola virus, the flesh-eating virus. It's killed over 1,000 people or more in Africa in the last 15 to 20 years. We've had a few incidents of it here in the United States. Down in Texas, there was a hospital that's had to deal with some cases. I can only imagine being a worker in that hospital, one of the people that dealt with one of those individuals when they at first maybe didn't know what they were dealing with. I've had times as a parish pastor when I would go visit a member who was very contagious and having to go into a room that was sealed off in isolation, and I would have to put on special gloves and a gown and a mask and cover my feet and my hair to go in to visit somebody. It really gives you a picture of the harsh reality of death and how things can attack our bodies and the types of things that are present out there in this world, and how little it would take for a tiny little virus to attach itself to our bodies and to ultimately destroy them. We can completely understand why in Jesus' day they had a leper colony. Maybe you've heard that one of the Hawaiian Islands was a leper colony for a while, that they would put people off in isolation to get them away from everybody else. The Levitical laws of the Old Testament even had specific requirements for people that were suffering with this dreaded disease. It's kind of interesting to think how we as human beings go through this life. I know I do this too, even as a Christian. Often kind of carefree and sometimes getting kind of arrogant about life. We live in an age that has got so much technology and advancements in medicine and so many things that have happened just in my lifetime that are such tremendous steps forward. And we can start to feel pretty confident in our generation and feel pretty confident in who we are and start to kind of think life is pretty easy for ourselves. And there can be a temptation for us to start to think, you know, look at all the things that man can do and all the stuff that I've got waiting out there for me in my life. Who needs God? Where does God have to figure into all of this? We can start to think we're doing pretty well on our own. And then suddenly the reality of our very delicate, fragile human condition comes to our forefront, to the forefront. And we're reminded of just how delicate life can be. We're reminded of really how desperate our condition is in this human life. Tomorrow, we'll probably again on TV see celebrations, now I shouldn't say celebrations, but reminders of the anniversary of that horrific 9/11 event. Often think what it was like the day before that, for many of those people that went up into those towers and how carefree life probably was even that morning as they had their coffee with them on their way into work. How quickly things can change in this fallen world. How quickly all of the prosperity and the comfort and the peace that we have right now and all of the ease that we have with life can just be taken away so fast. And the chilling presence of death, the chilling presence of terror and fear just swept across our nation that Tuesday morning. I think of the lepers in our text, probably just hours before they discovered that they had this horrific, horrific disease. What were the things that were going on in their minds and in their lives? What were their plans and their dreams and their hopes for all the things that they wanted to do with their life? And then just like that, they started to notice something on their body maybe, started to feel something, and they got it checked out and found that they had this horrific disease of leprosy. Whenever illness and tragedy and death strike like that, it jolts us, it shocks us, kind of into the reality of what it means to be living in a fallen world. You and I live in kind of an invisible angelic bubble of protection that God has provided us, that we don't see. And even as Christians, we can live inside of this invisible protective bubble that the angels give us, warding off and holding back evil and disease and everything else that would harm us. We live inside of it and kind of just think, well, that's the way life should be. But then every once in a while, God permits something to penetrate that bubble. It's interesting that just on this campus, every year, I've been here 8 years now, every year on this campus, someone out of our 700 or so people that are around here, someone ends up having to deal with something pretty huge and dramatic to their own body and health. It's as if God every once in a while permits something to penetrate that protective bubble to remind us that we're not in heaven yet, and to remind us that this life is pretty frail, and to remind us of how thin of a protection there could be, and that there would be nothing were it not for God granting that to us. Now, in the text before us, these men who are dealing with this horrific disease suddenly see our Lord walking past and begin to call out to him, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And right there in their presence now stands the Almighty God, hidden, you might say, in the garb of this common traveler. Just think how Jesus probably didn't look any different than any of the other people that walked by them that day. But here was the Son of God himself, the one who has all power over all evil and all death. And where you find him in this world and where you cry out to him for his mercy, there you have awakened and summoned the greatest forces against evil and the tyranny of the devil that you could ever imagine. And so they cry out to him that great prayer that we sing on Sundays, the ancient song of the church, Kyrie eleison. I remember my liturgics professor in seminary taught us that prayer that we sing, Lord, have mercy upon us, is not merely speaking about him having mercy upon us to save us and take us to heaven through Christ, but it's also calling out to him for our physical problems. Lord, have mercy upon us. And our Lord Jesus now uses this opportunity to show his divine power over the evil kingdom of Satan by simply giving a little gentle command. And isn't this the way our Lord so often does it? He takes all of his authority and power in order to help us, and he puts it into something that just doesn't sound or seem very big. And that's what we see in the means of grace too. He simply says, go show yourselves to the priests. His compassionate power to help these men in their miserable condition provides this miraculous healing for them. Even though Jesus' primary mission in this world is to rescue our souls from the grave and to bring us to everlasting life in heaven, our Lord God also cares for our earthly concerns and our temporal situation as well here in this life. The fact that we sit here today living and breathing and healthy is an indication of that. And one of the reasons that our Lord permits us once in a while to deal with trouble is to stir up the life of prayer in us and to exercise our faith and our trust in him. And what I love about this text too is at the end, notice how Jesus is just waiting and watching for the gratitude that will be coming back to him. Through this miracle is would have been done independently of their gratitude and thanksgiving, but he still is waiting for it and looking for it. He is seeking to stir up that part of their faith. Just like a mom or a dad might do something really nice for their children, and they didn't do it in order to get the thanks back, but they still kind of wait. They kind of wait to hear that gratitude expressed back from their child. You and I have been blessed to have been brought to faith in this same Savior who has power over all of our diseases, and especially the power over our death. And may we show our gratitude to him, the God of our eternal salvation, but even now, the God at times of our temporal salvation. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Keep your church, we beseech you, O Lord, with your perpetual mercy. And because our weak flesh without you can only fail, keep us ever by your help from all things hurtful, and lead us to all things profitable to our salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.